Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Amos 5, verse 19, says, "It will be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or as though he went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him." I want you to get the picture here. A gentleman walks out of his front door and he starts down the path and he runs into a bear. Now, I don't know about you, Kevin, but if I ran into a bear, I would immediately turn and go the other way. So he runs into a bear and he turns and he starts the other way. And when he gets a little ways down the path, he runs into a lion. And he looks and here's the lion coming at him. And he turns here and here's the bear coming at him. And he doesn't know what to do, so he starts running back to the house. And he's running and he's looking and the lion's coming and the bear's coming. And he's running and he's getting closer to the porch. He can see the porch, but man, he can almost feel the bear's breath on his back. And they're coming after him and he's running. And he gets up into the porch and he gets the door open and they're right here behind him. And he slams the door and bam, the bear hits and bam, the lion hits. And he goes... And he leans up against the wall and a snake bites him and kills him. I want to ask you a question this morning. I want you just to think because I don't want anybody to get snake bit. You know, sometimes we get so busy dealing with the lions and the bears in our life that we don't pay attention to the little snake that's there and got a grip on us, and he's sucking all the life out of us. We get so busy sometimes looking at these things that and all the, you know, our country does, we can do that as a church and we can do that in our marriages and in our individual lives, but we get so busy looking at these big issues, these big things, these big problems, these big challenges, and we're not paying attention that all the time we're trying to fight the lions and the bears, that little old snake's got a hold of us and he just slips in there unexpectedly. And he begins to suck all the life out of us. Song of Solomon 2:15 says, "Catch us the foxes, because it's those little foxes that spoil the vine. And they ruin the tender grapes." You know, sometimes it isn't the big things in life that get us, it's the little things. The little things. And it's so easy to not pay attention. It's so easy. You know, we can be so busy about the things of life and so busy about living for God and so busy about all the good things in life even, and then not be paying attention to the little things like the attitudes, the things that seem to slip by, the things that used to be important to us, the things that we don't think about anymore. You know, a country doesn't fall overnight. A church doesn't die overnight. You don't end up in divorce court overnight. Your life doesn't get all messed up overnight. It's all those little bitty things that we don't pay attention to. I like what Chris said last week. If you're not working on your marriage, you're working on your divorce. I like that. I might do a sermon entitled that. I got to reading the other day about navigation, about flying, and Not that I'm going to ever fly, but I just was kind of reading, and I thought it was interesting, and I read about it, a little article, and it said just drifting off course. And as I read this, I found out that, you know, in flying an airplane, or you could in a ship also, but I was more reading about flying, but for every degree, how many know 1 degree isn't that much? But for every degree that you fly off course, you'll miss your target by 92 feet for every mile you fly. That means if you were to fly the amounts of 1 mile off target, if you were to fly 1 degree off target for 6 miles, you'd be 50 miles off target. If that amounts to 1 mile off target for every 6 miles, that's what I want to say. If you decided to start at the equator and fly around the world, just be 1 degree off, by the time you flew all the way around the earth, you'd be 500 miles off target. If you were to leave JFK in New York and fly to Los Angeles to the LAX airport, and you were just 1 degree off, you'd end up 40 miles out in the Pacific Ocean. 1 degree. 1 degree. You know, a country doesn't get off course all at once. A church doesn't miss God just all of a sudden. A marriage doesn't end just overnight. No, it's all these little small, correctable things that we don't pay attention to. These little 1 degree failures, if you will. And you know, and to recognize that you're off a degree when you're flying 30,000 miles high, that's pretty difficult. And sometimes it's difficult to find out when we are a little bit off. And I'm not preaching this because I think you're a little bit off. Well, I know you're a little bit off. But no, I'm not thinking this because, or saying this because of that. But God began to deal with me roundup. And as I continued for the last 2 weeks looking at the picture of the invitation, wall to wall, and He just spoke to my heart, and he said, I'm going to restore you to your purpose. Now, I'm glad you're glad that I'm going to get back to my purpose, but he wasn't just talking about me, he was talking about our church. And I changed the word restore. He said, I'm going to get you back on purpose, back to your purpose. I just said restore because that sounds better, doesn't it? Huh? Come on, get with me now. Don't make me work hard here. So anyway, that's rolling around in me. And so I guess when something's bothered me, I just got to bother you with it. How about that? But you know, I just think God's tuning up his body right now. And he's saying, hey, I want you to get back focused. I want you to get back on target. And what I love about the thing was he didn't say, Hank, you go in there and you get that church back on its target, back on its focus, back on it, back where it's supposed to be. No, he said, I'm gonna do it. So I guess I'm saying this so that we all can just begin to how many here are deceived? Nobody really, a few did, just because they want to mess up my line here, but you don't really, if you know you're deceived, you're not deceived. Now we all, they were being honest, we all are deceived if we will just be honest with ourselves. In certain areas we're being tricked and we're being tricked to not walk in all God has for us. But you know, to be deceived, it means you don't know. If you know you're being deceived, then you're not being deceived because you know about it. But the Bible says the enemy goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. Well, now, I don't know about you, but I've made up my mind, you can't have me, devil. Huh? Matter of fact, I think that'd just be good for all of us just to say that. You can't have me, devil. Devil, you might get everybody else, but you're not getting me. You see, because this is a personal thing, and the only way, you know, so I'm preaching this message to me today. If you're smart, you will put yourself in it. Because, see, the only way that any of us can get anything from God, it has to be on a personal level. We have to receive it. We have to take it. And I just got to thinking, you know, we get derailed. But, you know, just because we get a degree off or just because we're a little bit off doesn't mean that we have to face this great failure or anything else. Because, you know, all the time pilots are continually doing in-flight recalculations. And that's the neat thing about God is whenever I find myself a little bit off or a lot off, I can just say, you know, God, hold it. I don't want this in my life. I don't want to be this way. I didn't realize that was there. I didn't realize I was doing that. I didn't realize I was thinking that way. I didn't realize this, you know. And I can just say, hey, I don't want that, and He'll turn me. You know, the truth is we all get off. We all miss it. But if we're trusting the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, we won't get very far off because He'll lead us back. And God's good. God's good. But we get off as a country. And I don't want to get off chasing a rabbit here, but I just want to... We are in the middle of one of the ugliest election campaigns that we've ever seen. Our country has never seen anything like this. And I'll tell you what I feel that God spoke to me was, He said, you know, these candidates and all these people, they didn't make this mess. This mess was already here. And what I'm doing is I'm exposing it. I'm stirring up the pot and exposing it in hopes that my kids will do something about it. You know, and we can take the attitude of, well, just whatever will be, will be. That's straight from hell. We have a say in what happens. First off, you can vote, but and you should vote. You should vote your faith because your faith matters. But we have authority and we have power and Jesus got that power and authority for us and He gave it to us and we're supposed to have a say in some of the things that happen on this earth. If He was going to just do it without us, He would have already wrapped this thing up. But we've been given power over principalities and powers and authority and all the wickedness in high places. And we've been given authority over that. And I said something last Sunday night. Because, see, when we think of the devil, we think of him as something huge and something big. And so let me just throw this out to you. Maybe you can't take care of a big demon, which is a lie because you can take care of any of them. But maybe you don't feel like you can take care of a big demon. So why don't you find one of them little rascals and give him a hard time? Huh? Why don't you just tackle as big a one as you think you can handle and give him a hard time and take some authority over it in Jesus' name? And get him out of your life. Get him out of your family's life. Get him out of the church's life. Get him out of the city's life. And get him out of the country's life. We sit around and we wait for somebody else to do it. And I'm sorry, it doesn't really matter who gets elected. I know who I want to get elected. Not because I like them, but because I don't like the other one. But it's not that, you know, it's not that. It's not because who gets elected. It's going to be because God's people stand up and be counted. We get so involved in all these issues, and we get so involved in all this stuff that's going on, that we don't realize that the snake's got a hold of us and he's sucking all the juice out of us. And I'm going to say something. The problem's not borders. The problem's not NAFTA. It's not a depleted military. The problem's not ISIS. It's not racism. It's not the Taliban. It's not emails and videotapes, which all those things are problems. Don't misunderstand me. But they're not the issue. That's not the main problem. The main problem is the snake's got a hold of us and he's sucking all our light out, and our light that the world is supposed to see is getting dim. The solution to all of our problems aren't political. They're spiritual. Ann Graham Lotz, Billy Graham's daughter, right after the 9/11, she was on an early morning talk show. And they asked her the question. They said, how could God let something like this happen? And her answer was this. She said, I believe God is deeply saddened by this, just as we all are. But for years, we've been telling God to get out of our schools, get out of our government, get out of our lives. And being the gentleman that he is, I believe that he's just calmly backing out. How can we expect God to give us his blessing and protection if we continue to demand him to leave us alone? I thought that was pretty good. And so the lions and the bears of government and all the corruption, that's not the problem. The problem is we're not letting our light shine. And we've even let it be put out. So, I could do a whole sermon on this. And you guys would really cheer on it. But I want to get to the other part. The part that's inside us. And maybe you'll cheer for that too. How about that? But we could go on with this. But the problems aren't all the bears and the lions that we're focusing on. The Bible says, God's answer always has been and it always will be, 2 Chronicles 7:14, he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them in heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. And I just have to point out here, he didn't say, if all the evil people will turn to me. He said, if my people will turn to me. And I don't know about you, I can't turn to him for all of you, but I can turn to him myself. You know, I can humble myself and say, God, you are the only one that has a solution to this. You are the only one that can move. And I'm coming to you. I'm seeking you. I'm asking you for your answer, and I'm believing you for your answer. And I'm not giving it mental assent anymore. I'm putting some action to this thing. And I'm believing you, and I want to use my faith to solve some of these things. Because I believe, God, you can do it. And I want all the things in my life that are standing between me and you, I want them out of there, because I don't want anything between me and you, because I want to have power with you when I stand before you. So, I believe what God says. God said in Joel 2, verses 13 and 14, he said basically this. He said, rent your heart, not your garments, and return to the Lord and repent of your sins and cry out to the one who knows, and he'll return to us and he'll bless us. Rent your heart, tearing your clothes. You know, it's a Jewish custom that they still do it at a lot of the Jewish funerals. They tear their clothes to show the mourning and the grief that they're feeling, and they tear their clothes, and that's that opens up a thing where you can see their feelings, and you know what God's saying is, he's saying, hey, that's fine, but don't tear your clothes. Let's do something with your heart. And what God's looking for all of us is for us to get our hearts back with Him. So just let something happen in your heart. Tear that heart apart and let me fix it and let me put it back together for you. And I believe when we go after God, now I don't know, again, I can't, I'm all for corporate prayer and I'm all for all this, but you know what? We start praying about something and we just give it mental assent. We know we're supposed to pray about something, and you know what we usually do instead of praying about it ourselves? We call and put it on somebody's prayer list. Prayer is not mental assent. A prayer is getting down before God and telling Him what you need and telling Him what you're desiring and telling Him and speaking His Word back to Him and believing that His Word's the truth and doing it and putting some action to all that thinking. And this will help in every area of your life, by the way. And, you know, hey, we just get cold. We just get, it's not on purpose. It's not because we're bad. I mean, I'm not bad. Are you bad? I mean, I got some bad stuff I'm trying to fix, but we all got some bad in us, but I'm not bad. Are you bad? No. God says you're the righteousness of Him. God says you're His prized possession. God says, I gave my Son for you. And man, when I look at you, all I see is what my Son did for you. So I see you in right standing with me. I see you close to me. And I just want to start living up to that. I just want to start being that. You know what? I would love to be what I used to think I was. Huh? We're a product of our own hypocrisy, you know. We're a result of it. And you know, I would just love to, I'd love to know half as much as I used to think I knew. And what I want to do is I want to grow on the inside before the outside grows. I want to be able to step into the things that God has. But to do that, you got to be bigger on the inside than you do on the outside. And so many times we're paying attention to the exterior too much. And God says, man, I want your heart. I want your heart. I couldn't preach this if I really didn't think that the majority of you had a heart for God. Okay? I couldn't preach this if I didn't really believe that. But myself, I'm tuning up. I'm trying to get that degree that I'm off. I'm trying to, well, sometimes it's more than one degree. So I'm really in a mess by the time I fly from coast to coast, you know. I might end up in Hawaii or something, you know. But God's purpose. And you know, as a church, if we're not careful, we get so busy looking at the issues and the lions and the bears that we don't realize that when the snake slips up here and bites us, we, you know, when going to church isn't important anymore, it's important, but it just isn't as important as it used to be. And the things of God, places of service, you know, they're just not as important as they used to be. But you know, I want to do something, but I'm too young, or I want to do something, but I'm too old, or you know, and it gets to be where, yeah, do you remember when we used to? And I don't know about you, but I hope I've did some good things in my life, but I'm trying to get more interested in what's in front of me instead of what's in back of me. And we lose our purpose. We lose God's purpose. God's purpose. Jesus said, I give you power and authority. He said, it's all been given to me. I give it to you. Now, go into the world and tell everybody about me. God's purpose. Hey, God wants us to grow. God wants us to develop. He wants us to have great programs in the church. He wants us to have the wovens and the cell groups and the children's churches and the teens ministries. And he wants us to have all that in the singles ministries. And he wants us to have all of that. But sometimes we get so busy looking at all these things that we forget the reason why. The reason why is that he doesn't want anybody to perish. His purpose is, God said, I send my son into the world. I sent him in here so that we could be reconciled, so that I could get you back, so that I could pull you back into favor with me. I could pull you back into harmony with me. I could restore you into your original position. I could let you know that the war is over. Now all you have to do is love me. He says, my purpose is that not only did I want you reconciled, but that I have given you the ministry of reconciliation. And we get on all kinds of good things. Feeding the poor, doing this, doing that. Folks, God didn't send us here to feed the poor. Feeding the poor is good. We do. And we support those that do. But he sent us here so that if you're not saved, we could get you saved. If you're away from God, we could tell you how much he loves you and how easy it is to come back to him. God wants you to have a good marriage. But we got to not get away from our purpose. You know, we're a blessed church. And we got so many of our younger. Now, I called somebody young the other day, and she was just tickled that I still called her young because she thought she was old. But you got to understand, when you get my age, everybody's young, just about, you know. But many of you are realizing that God's got more for you, that he's got a call on your life. And every week I meet with at least one or two families and two or three individuals that are coming saying, God, Hank, I've been called. God's called me to preach. God's called me to teach. God's called me to be a pastor. God's called me for this and called me for that. And man, that's exciting. But don't forget the reason he called you. Don't forget the purpose he called you. He called you so that nobody would perish. He called us all so that nobody would have to go to hell. He didn't make hell for any of us or anybody we know. He made hell for the devil and his angels. And his heart is pleading with us, don't go there. Tell everybody you see they don't have to go there. God's purpose. And listen, man, I know God calls, and we all have different callings. We all have different assignments. We all have different levels and degrees of things that we might have an emphasis in this area or that area. And you know, but folks, the thing that pushes it all, the thing that drives it all, is a love and a care for lost people. I don't know. When the Roundup thing, do we have that picture? Put that up there if we got that. I don't remember. When I was in the middle of all that Roundup day, it didn't dawn on me. I mean, I was looking and I was overwhelmed. But when I began to look at the picture, I went, "Wow, God!" And the first thing when I looked at it, I remember the day when I would have looked at that and instantly tears would have been in my eyes. And I was like that navigation thing I used to have that would go, recalculating, recalculating, recalculating. Folks, do you understand that there are churches and there are pastors that have never had an altar call like that? There are churches that have never seen an altar call like that. I had a pastor from another state tell me last week, he said, Hank, you don't understand what you got. Even not counting this, he saw this and was overwhelmed. But not just that. He said, you guys are seeing people saved every week. He said, you don't understand. He said, we haven't seen as many people saved in a year as you saw last month. And I'm going, oh God. What's the purpose? What are we really after? Yes, we're going to do all the other stuff. We're going to develop and we're going to grow. But that... That is a lifetime desire for me. But I'm going to ask you the question. Are we going to wait till next roundup to do it again? Don't answer. I mean, are we going to wait till the next time to do it again? I'm called to preach. Well, okay, but who are you leading to the Lord? Well, I'm called to preach. Well, hold it. No, you're not called to preach. You're called to get people to saved and get them into the kingdom. You've been given the gift to preach so that you can accomplish that purpose. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? This is so vital. I'm called to minister to the men. I'm called to minister to the ladies. I'm called to minister to married couples. I'm called to minister to teens. I'm called to minister. Hold it, hold it, hold it. You're called to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And all these other giftings and all these other things in us are things that God has given us so we can accomplish our purpose, His purpose. Does that make any sense? Somebody said, I'm called to be a pastor. I said, well, okay. When's the last time you got somebody saved?
Well, I
hold it. You're telling me you're called to be a pastor and you're not even getting people saved? What do you think? Do you think that this calling, when you get this title, when you get this position, that everything's going to automatically fall in place in your life and you're going to be a soul winner and you're going to be on fire and you're going to... Folks, I'm sorry, it doesn't happen that way. You know, when we started to turn the corner in this church a year or so ago, year and a half, whenever it was, and we all felt it and we all knew it, huh? We all got a smile back on our face, didn't we? Most of us. Huh? We felt it. We knew it. You know what? But you know what? When that happened was when I said, God, I can't fill these seats up. God, I'm not. I want this building full, but that's not my purpose. My purpose is to reach everybody I can reach and help everybody I can help and help those that we reach put their lives back together. That's my purpose, and every day I'm going to go at that, and I'm going to work at that. And now every day I wake up and I say, God, who can I get saved today? Well, you're the preacher. No, but that's all of our calling. You want to, you want to have a ministry? Then start one today. What, do you need a license, or do you need a title, or do you? I mean, I'll do all this over you if you want me to. You know, I'll throw some oil at you. You know, I mean, hey, Let's just get some kind of something. Okay, for you to do it, I'm going to go. What are you waiting on? Do you know somebody that's not saved? Go tell them about Jesus. Well, I don't know how. I know you won't know how until you start. You don't have to preach them a sermon. They don't need any more sermons. They just need to know Jesus loves them. And they just need to know that by faith they can just call on Him and He'll come into their life. Are you hearing me? Please don't misunderstand. I'm not being critical. I'm getting on myself today a little bit, but I'm trying not to get on you. But put yourself in there, because if you happen to be a degree off, I don't want you to end up way out in the ocean somewhere. But you know, we can look at the lions and the bears what are we going to have to buy cameras, or we're going to have to buy air conditioning, or we're going to have to buy carpet, we got all these things and they look like lions and bears, but the real thing is the snake's biting us, and maybe we can't do anything about all that, but we can go get somebody saved. We can let people know that Jesus loves them. Well, I'm called to ministry. Well, then start ministering. Quit waiting for a title. Quit waiting for some voodoo to be done over you. We don't think it's bad if it's spiritual voodoo. We do all kinds of spiritual voodoo, you know. The Lord told me. Well, okay, if he wants to tell me, he can tell me too. Huh? Are you hearing me? Huh? You don't have to lay hands on me to know I got a calling. And if you do, that's fine. That just encourages it and that just confirms it. And you don't have to tell me something God tells me, but I'm glad when you do. It just confirms it. But don't base your life on somebody's prophecy. Don't base your life on what somebody else does, somebody else's experience. Man, most of those folks are just trying to convince us that they're prophets. But anytime a prophecy is a real prophecy, it bears witness with what the Holy Spirit's already telling you. This isn't all the stuff I started off to say, but this is pretty valuable stuff. Well, I'm called to preach. Well, what are you doing to build this church? I'm called to pastor, to start a church. You know, well, I'm sorry, but, you know, I know God does that, but you going out and starting a church, you know, a lot of people, and not anybody here, so if you've talked to me recently, don't think that I'm talking about you, please. But a lot of people want to get in the ministry so they don't have to work. I'm called to pastor a church. They just want to pastor a church so they don't have to hold down an 8-hour-a-day job. Folks, that's the wrong incentive. And a guy'd be a fool to want to do this if God didn't call him to do it. Huh? I just get tickled sometimes. I've told some of you all this recently. I said, praise God for all these young bucks that want in the ministry. No. You call to the ministry, then start ministering. Start leading people to the Lord. Start telling them about Jesus. Yes, prepare. Yes, dig in the Word. Get the Word inside of you. Dig and dig, but start ministering. Are you waiting for some point down the line when something happens, when some magical something takes place, and now I'm a minister? Is this making any sense? And some of you old guys, you just, and gals, you just turned me off when I started talking about that because you just thought, yeah, well, he's talking to the young folk, but I'm talking to you. If God was done with you, he'd already taken you home. Some of you need to do some. I worked for 3M Business System one time, and I saw an ad in the salesman's room, and it went, push, pull, do something. So either push or pull or get out of the way or something, you know. But God's got something for you to do. So I don't really know how to do all this. Well, just start. Do what you do know how to do. Huh? I mean, what? Come to church and be wanting to. Last week we had so many folks that came back that got saved. We just needed some of you here to love them and congratulate them and tell them how glad you were that they got saved. You see, when you decide to be a minister, that means you minister instead of getting ministered to. Does that make any sense? Well, we get the cart before the horse, and I just am believing for all this stuff. And well, start. Just dawned on me, man, I don't have to wait for one of those altar calls. I can get somebody saved today. As a matter of fact, somebody came in here today and you don't know you're right with the Lord. And that's why you're here. And I'm just telling you in a few minutes in advance, you're going to get saved in a minute. Huh? You don't know for sure you're right with the Lord? You're going to get right in just a minute. Okay? I'm not going to point you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Nothing like that. But I'm just saying, hey, what? It just dawned on me. Hold it. I can minister right now. I can do it right now. Somebody needs help right now. Does that make any sense to you? I just want us to... Let me read you a verse out of Revelations. Now this is Jesus talking. Revelation chapter 2. He's talking to the church of Ephesus. And in verse 2 he says, I know your works and your labors and your patience, and that you cannot hear those who are evil, or bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and you've found them liars, and you've persevered, and you have patience, and you've labored for my name's sake, and you've not become weary. Now, man, how many like Jesus to say that about you? That's pretty good talk. Until he gets to verse 4, but then he says, Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Can you imagine how the church at Ephesus felt when John read them this message from Jesus? Man, you're good. You're doing good. You're doing all the things you're supposed to do, but there's just one little problem. And folks, he wasn't saying he was going to send them to hell for this little problem. He's trying to help them recalculate. I want you to understand, I'm not saying this because I'm questioning your love for God. I told another preacher last week, I said, you know what? I said, I don't know. I said, we might not be able to do a lot of the things some of the big churches do, and we might not be able to do this or that, but I said, you know what? I said, I've got a bunch of people that love God with all their heart. And so understand what I'm saying, because I know you love God. And I know I love God. I'm just saying, has anything slipped? Have you got a little bit off? Maybe just a degree off. Has the serpent got a hold of you and sucking some of the enthusiasm and some of the life and some of the zeal that you used to have? Matter of fact, won't everybody just shut your eyes right now? Just shut your eyes. And don't anybody look, but and you don't even have to respond. I just want you to think for a minute. Does your heart still burn like it once did when you see somebody get saved or think about somebody getting saved? When you see somebody get saved or baptized, does that tear come in your eye? Has a little bit of that gotten crusted over? Is there just some little things? Are you still as excited to come to church as you once were? Are you still excited when you give the offering because you know that you're giving it for God's purpose and that it's going to be used to reach people? Are you excited when you in your areas of ministry when you're able to do something? Are you excited about that because you believe people are going to be closer to God because of it? Are you with me? Is that making sense? Just ask yourself the question. Lord, just say, Holy Spirit, what areas do I need to readjust? What areas do I need to think about again? The answer for this condition was in verse 5, and I'll read it to you. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I'll come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. Unless you repent. Now just keep yourself thinking. He's not saying, I'm going to come and send you to hell. He's saying, hey, has the fire gone out? If the fire goes out, he says, my anointing will leave. My presence will leave. I don't want that in my life. Do you want that in yours? I don't want that in my church. Do you want that in yours? And so right now, maybe everybody, while your head's bowed and your eyes are closed, maybe everybody just say, Lord, and I'm just going to say it for me, but Lord, I just ask you to search my heart. I just ask you to recalculate me. I just ask you, Father, to show me these areas, these first loves, these first things that maybe I've drifted a little bit from, God. Oh, because I love you. I love you with all my heart, God. And I want everybody to know who you are. And I want everybody that's not saved to come to you. And so, Holy Spirit, I'm just asking you to just guide me and lead me into God's truth. Just if the places that I'm a little off, God, just move me back, and because I want all of you I can get. Is that your prayer? If that's your prayer, nobody's looking, just raise your hand. That's my prayer, God. That's my prayer. That's what I want, Father. See, He knows your heart, and that's what He's doing. He's touching your heart today. Now I want everybody to look at me. And we can go ahead and have some music, but everybody look at me for just a minute. I want to talk to whoever it is here today that you don't know for sure that you're right with God. You know, when God when God spoke this little thing in Amos about the lion and the bear and the snake, when He spoke this thing, He was speaking to Israel, and He was talking about the day of the Lord. That the day of the Lord was coming, and don't get so busy looking at everything else that you miss the real thing, because the snakes bit you and you miss it. Listen to me. The day of the Lord is here. At any minute, either Jesus will come or you will breathe your last breath. When that happens, we step into eternity. Out of our control then. We step into eternity. We've either received by faith the price that was paid for us and we go with God forever, or by not receiving that, by not making a decision, we go to hell. I've had people tell me, Pastor, I don't believe in hell. And I just want to cry when they say that, because, you know, you won't be there but a couple seconds until you realize you were wrong. And I don't want you to go there. Going to step into eternity. I'm going to ask you something. See, the devil will get you so busy looking at the lions and the bears that you don't realize he's got a hold of you. The serpent's got a hold of you. And if he can keep you from making a decision, he can take you where he's going. Lions and the bears. Let me just ask you. How many times have you felt in your heart that God was pulling you? How many times have you felt in your heart that you needed to get your life right with the Lord? And the devil would cause some kind of distraction, some kind of a lion or a bear, and you'd start thinking about this problem or that problem. Well, I need to get my life together first, or I need to do this, or I don't think I could live it, or whatever else. But how many times have you felt that tugging inside there and you didn't respond? Here's the thing. God loves you so much. He loves all of us so much that He made it so simple. Thank God we don't have to do all kinds of things. We don't have to jump through hoops. We don't have to live up to somebody's ordinances. All we have to do is by faith say, Jesus, come into my heart. I make you my Lord. Just by faith. Then He starts. See, I'm not asking you to straighten your life out. I'm not asking you to change anything. I'm asking you to take the first step today, receive Jesus as your Lord. Then He will help you with the other steps. He'll help you, and something will happen from the inside out. Everybody bow your heads. Nobody's looking. Who was that I was talking to? If that's you and you're just not for sure, raise your hand. Go ahead, I'm not going to embarrass you. Okay, thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Who else? I knew there's a couple more. Who are you? Who here has made a decision for Christ, but you've just been living the wrong way, and you just say, you know, Lord, I'd like to just start fresh with you today. I'd like to just rededicate my life. I'd just like to make sure things are okay. If that's you, raise your hand. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Who else? Who else? Thank you. Thank you. Who else? Several hands raised. Why don't everybody in here just say something with me? Just say, Jesus. Everybody say it. Jesus. If you don't know for sure you're saved, say this. Jesus, I want to be saved right now. I make you the Lord of my life. I want to live for you. But I need your help. So come into my heart right now and give me what I need. I trust you. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. I want everybody to stand. If you prayed that maybe for the first time, or maybe you prayed that to rededicate, maybe you didn't pray it but you want to, if that's you, I'm going to ask that you just come on down here, because we'd like to pray with you just for a minute. We won't take you anywhere. We won't embarrass you. But if you prayed that and really meant it, then you'll take a step and step out. Why is that important? Well, that's important because when you leave here, the devil's going to try to tell you that you didn't make a decision, that that really didn't work. But by you stepping out and you're confessing him before men by stepping out and coming down here. And by you doing that, you're putting an end to what the devil tries to do in your life. And you can say, nope, I did ask him into my heart and he did come. And so some are coming. What about you? Maybe you didn't even raise your hand, but you know you're feeling that tugging inside here. Come on down. Maybe you're feeling it and you don't even know why, but come on down. We want to pray with you. And some of you here, you've been saved and you've never been baptized. We're already taking people back to baptize. This is your day. God's been dealing with you about it. Somebody just thought, yeah, oh, you've been fighting the battle. Well, I know I was baptized when I was young and all this, but you've still been fighting that battle. Why don't you quit fighting it today and just say, okay, I'm just by faith, I'm going to get baptized and I'm going to put an end to what the devil's trying to do in my heart. So whatever you need to come for, you come. You come. Don't leave here today the way you came in. Maybe you just got a tugging in there and you don't really know why. Come on down. We'd love to pray with you. If you need to come, come. You raised your hand. Are you going to come? Thank you. Who else? Come on. Come on. Come on. He's enough. He's enough. And he loves you. He cares about you. Right now, you're the most important thing to God right now. That's how much he loves you. What you're going through is the most important thing on his mind right now. What you're facing is so dominant in his thinking right now that he wants to help you with it. Your life, he wants to put you back together. He wants to do those things inside of you that only he can do. He just says, will you let me? Will you let me? Sing one more verse. Still somebody here and you don't know for sure. Whoever you are, this is the last verse we're going to sing. Whoever you are, come on. Have you decided that? No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Hallelujah. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Give him a hand. Thank him for these that have come. There's still somebody here that you've been wanting to be baptized, and this is your time. We got robes and towels and everything.